and Covington. On their feet at Wells Fargo Center. The lob for Covington! Yes!
The pathway to the NBA wasn't the easiest for the 76ers' Robert Covington. That includes the time he went to the NBA Draft Combine and was told by his agent that an EKG revealed he had a heart condition.
It's like, yeah, you'll probably never be able to play basketball again. And I'm like... just called me, it caught me completely off guard.
Now, 11 seasons into his NBA career, Robert Covington has plenty more to say about playing basketball and more next on Fresh 24.
Sixers lock all windows and doors. Robert Covington, a.k.a. Cov, Rocco, Chicago native, more than half of your 600 NBA games in your career with the 76ers, you got into the NBA the hard way, my friend, and we'll talk about that. Great defender, great guy. Thank you for being with us, and I dare say your age finally matches your uniform number, 33. Welcome to Fresh 24, Cov.
Man, appreciate you for having me, man. It's a blessing to be back in your presence, my guy. Congrats on the title, too, man.
Well, you're very kind to say that. I appreciate it. But listen, you don't know what old is. I'm more than twice your age. I'm 68. You're 33. But it's got to feel different. The game's got to feel different than it did at 23.
It definitely
does. How does it feel different?
It feels different because I got a better understanding of the game. You know, when I first came in, fresh puppy, getting my feet wet. I was in the G League majority of that time, so I was literally just understanding the game. And so, you know, now that, you know, 10 years later, I'm in a different sense, a different light, you know, a very trained veteran. You know, I've been through, like you said, the woodworks. I had to get it, you know, in a different way. I had to get it in a grinding way. And you know, the amount of time that I put into, you know, my craft and, you know, becoming the defender I am and the player I am, it took hours of countless work.
For sure. And you're still doing it. And you feel that it's going to pay off. I mean, you think you can play what, another 5 or 6 more years?
I definitely have another 5, 6 more. And the way my body feels, I definitely got an opportunity to play that long.
And a lot of times you could stick around just because you can make shots or defend, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, and everybody know that's what I thrive at. So I'm big on creating opportunities. You know, I take that, you know, that pride in that. And so for me, you know, me going out of the garden, like I find more joy in that than, you know, playing on the other side anyway.
You wear 33 because you idolized Scottie Pippen, the great Chicago Bull growing up. What did you love about his game?
Everything. You know, I emulated my game around him, a great overall player, person that, you know, does little things that, you know, don't get noticed, can guard the best guys, can, you know, do, you know, like I said, a little bit of everything. And also, you know, that number is passed down in my family as well. So that's another reason why, you know, I cherish 33. So it's just a big testament to, you know, who I am, you know, what it means to me and my family. And like I said, it's, you know, now that I am 33, it means even more for me, you know, but considering the last couple of years that have happened and being where I'm at now, 33 has a greater sense of, you know, meaning to me.
You're the son of Dennis and Teresa Bryant. From what I read, your mom was a manager at a Sports Authority. Your dad worked at a post office, and you said they gave you your work ethic. How?
Man, you know, by going out and doing the little things and, you know, just, you know, having to work for everything that you ever got. You know, my mom started off as just a basic employee, Sports Authority, and she worked her way all the way up to manager position. And, you know, the things that she put into play, you know, with her work ethic allowed her to go and step into role wherever she stepped, wherever she, you know, went. You know, my dad, you know, been in my life, you know, came around relatively when I was relatively young. You know, stepped in and took on that role of, you know, being a father figure for me. And, you know, just, you know, show me what hard work gets you, because, you know, I didn't have the opportunity or resources like other people. You know, he basically told me that, you know, you have to grind for everything you get, because nothing's easy. And what's easy to give, it can easily be taken. If you go out and work for it, can't nobody take that from you.
And your mom really wanted to impress the importance of academics. So I'm trying to picture you. What are you, seventh, eighth, maybe even ninth grade? You wanted to try out for your middle school basketball team. So I'll assume seventh or eighth grade. And what happened? She didn't let you. Why was that?
No, I didn't even get to the tryout. I didn't even get to the tryout. It started when football season was going on, actually. I didn't hold in my end of the bargain. I had one or two D's on my report card, and I didn't reach my mom's academic level that she set for us, which was a 3.0. I was at like a 2.8. And my mom was like, you didn't meet your standards. So, you know, I'm basically taking sports away from you. And so for me, she took away, you know, football, or made it a year, and I didn't even have the opportunity to play basketball. So, it still to this day, like, haunts me, because of me not holding my end of the bargain, my football team, we lost by 1 point to go to the national championship in Florida. And we lost 18-19, and I was the kicker, the field goal kicker.
Wow. So it affected your football status as well.
Exactly. Exactly. My mom, literally, we had one game to go to. We was at regionals, and we needed to win that game to go to the national championship. And we literally lost by one.
Isn't it funny how we are sometimes? It was certainly the right thing to do as a parent. You must agree now that you're a father, and yet you've had great success in the NBA, yet you hang on to that one thing.
You hang on to that one thing, but it made me realize, like, yeah, my mom wasn't playing. My parents weren't playing at all. So, you know, I held my hand. She took away the basketball the remainder year. So my 7th grade year, I really didn't play sports. And then it showed me. Like, I came home, had to do my homework while my friends were going to practice and everybody was doing everything. And I was just wasn't. Like, my brothers and was going for practice. I was going to watch them practice, going to watch their games. And the team that I was playing with in the 6th grade, now they're on 7th grade. So now I'm watching them. And now it's just all just building up this level of, that level of resentment. Like, man, I didn't hold up my end of the bargain. So. Still to this day.
Proviso West High School, Hillside, Illinois. You're about a half hour west of Chicago. You actually grew up in nearby Bellwood. What was the neighborhood like?
Neighborhood was dope. My mom moved us out of inner city when I was 9, going on 10 in 2000. Right after my little brother was born. And it was a big scenery change for us. Well, for me at least, but it was absolutely stunning. Like, I met a lot of my longtime friends there, a lot of friends, a lot of family. Ended up moving out in that area. It basically changed my life. You know, giving me an opportunity to really excel in school and sports. And, you know, like you said, to get a better environment for not only me, but for me to set the standard for my little brothers. Because, like I said, my mom, you know, I used to have bad influences around my mom, you know, try to get me out of that environment, because she told me my brothers and them are going to look up to me. So at the end of the day, you set the tone for them. And if you have negative influences around you and you are leading by example, they're going to watch you and then they're going to emulate you, which she was very much true. So. I ended up going from being a bad student, bad son, you know, just a bad character individual, to completely did a 180 then the following year. You know, when we moved, It was a change of scenery. It was a new opportunity for me to just, you know, start a clean slate. And it gradually built into, you know, the individual that I am today.
You ever think what would have happened had you not moved?
I kind of have an idea, but it's like, I'm glad that my parents, you know, did that for us, for the sake of us, because it put us in a better opportunity, you know, education-wise, living-wise, you know, opportunities, you know, got us away from a lot more crime. So they did what was in the best interest of us. And, you know, I think that my family was able to put us in that environment.
You went to Tennessee State, a historically Black college, and I can't help myself. I went old school. Ben Worley, hey, he went there, a former Sixer back in the day. Dick Barnett, who played for at least one of the champion Knick teams, if I recall, in the 70s. The late Anthony Mason, Carlos Rogers, and some others. Why Tennessee State?
Honestly, I didn't have much of a choice. They were one of two schools that actually offered me, the other being Sacramento State. And I went to an unsigned senior showcase my senior year in early April. And at this showcase, I did very well for my team. I did very well. The two games that we played, I was lead scorer. And so here comes this tall, skinny, light-skinned dude, Dana Ford. And at the time, he didn't even have a job. He was like, hey, you know, my name is Dana Ford. I used to coach at Chipola Junior College down in McAllen, Texas. I believe that's where it is. I think it's down in McAllen. And so he was like, yeah, I love your game. He was like, you know, I'm out here scouting, but I don't have a job. But, you know, I've applied for a few places. You know, then he mentioned Tennessee State and whatnot. And so he was like, I would like to meet your family. So then he ends up getting the job at Tennessee State. And so he calls us and was like, hey, you know, I just want to give you guys news. I got the job at Tennessee State, but now I have to follow NCAA guidelines. I can only call you twice a week. He was like, but I'm not even trying to wait that long. Like, I want to bring, now that I have the coaches down here, I've been telling them about this kid from Chicago, like, that we must have, like, we must need. And he was like, I'm trying to bring the coaches down there ASAP. As I'm down there, the first probably like few hours, I get to meet the staff, walk the campus, meet, you know, see where we're going to live at, like, everything. And I just was like, okay. Like, everything just felt like family oriented. So for me, that was a big thing. And then he showed us like what he plans on doing. And I was happy with it.
Let me fast forward a little bit because I do have a fair amount to cover here. 4 years at Tennessee State, you have a very good career there, but not good enough to get drafted. So you're a free agent, you're signing with Houston. But before that, you go to the draft combine. And there was about a week where you thought you weren't going to play basketball again. Why was that?
Because I had a great showing at the combine. I had a great showing. I got a lot of positive feedback, you know, opened a lot of people's eyes. And then we get to testing and everything. Everything started to look, was looking good. Like all my results looking good. But then once we get to an EKG test, the echo test. We go and it's the treadmill, the stress test. And I'm doing the test. And so I go all the way, do my results, you know, everything would be good. So I then go away and I get a phone call from my agent. And basically he was like, man, I just got a call from the NBA about your results. And it showed it came back faulty. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, they picked up and said that you had a heart defect. I'm like, what you mean? What do you mean? I've never been told I had heart issues or anything of that nature. It was like, yeah, you'll probably never be able to play basketball again. And I'm like, just caught me completely off guard. And one of the doctors that they called had noticed that there was a red line in between the reading that basically established that that was a faulty reading. And so they came, they had me come and do a test again. They had me do the test again somewhere in Chicago, because that's where I was. And the results came back perfectly fine.
Wow. And of course, you're eventually signed by the Houston Rockets, waived by them, signed by the Sixers during the process years. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. But first, it's halftime, and you know what that means. I have a couple of choices for you. It's called Six Pack. And cool. I'm going to ask you to choose between two things.
Okay.
Six different pairs of choices I'm going to give you, and you have to choose one. Are you ready? Okay. And you got to do it quick.
Cool.
No sitting around and thinking about it. Would you say yes to a Philly cheesesteak or a Philly soft pretzel?
Cheesesteak.
Center City or South Jersey?
South Jersey.
Gritty the Flyers mascot or the Philly fanatic of the Phillies?
Flyers.
Meek Mill or Hall & Oates?
Meek Mill.
The Dr. J throwback jersey or the Allen Iverson throwback jersey?
Whoa, yeah.
Liberty Bell or Rocky Steps?
Rocky Steps.
All right. I'm going to give you a handful of artists from my music library. You tell me if you have them or not. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
So, you ever get to a game and your view is nothing close to what you thought it would be? Listen, I get to buy seats now too, no freebies, so I'm teaming up with Game Time. They have got killer last-minute deals, flash deals. You could check out views from all seats in the venue, and they've got your back with the lowest price guarantee. Listen, if you find tickets for less in the same section and row, Game Time credits you 110% of the difference. They show your total up front. No surprises at checkout. Buying tickets takes 2 seconds. A couple of taps and you're done. Philly, let's change the game. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use the code ZOO for $20 off your first purchase. Remember, terms apply. Redeem the code ZOO, Z-O-O, for your $20 discount at GameTime.co. Rihanna.
Yep.
Robert Palmer.
No.
The Roots.
Yep.
Future.
Of course.
Biggie.
Of course.
Enough said. What is typically pumping through your earphones pregame?
Lil Wayne.
Yeah?
Lil Wayne.
Wow.
Hands down. I've listened to the same before every game since I was 17. I've listened to the same exact song before every game.
What's the song?
It's called I'm Gonna Go Get It by Lil Wayne.
And why is that?
It's actually where I actually got my motto from. Allergic to failure.
Got it.
I got my motto from. It's just this song in general. It just gives you that life about, you know, whenever you need to go out and perform, it's like not giving up. It's like going, pushing yourself and, you know, overcoming so much.
Listen, you're fortunate to do what you do. I was fortunate to be the announcer for 27 years. I loved it. Although every once in a while I would say, fourth game in 5 nights. We've been on the road for 2 weeks. It's kind of like having your favorite dessert every night.
Yeah.
What do you do on those nights where you just know I might not have it tonight? I'm a human being, and somehow summon the energy and the fortitude to get yourself going.
You just got to fight through it. You know, you got to find a way. As my coach used to say, you just got to find a way. He used to say, fake it till you make it. You know, fake it till you make it. So you might not feel good, but you still got to go out there and do something.
But it's hard to fake it. I mean, you know, you don't guard somebody and they blow by you. Everybody could see it. You're missing shots. Everybody could see it. You know, it's hard to fake it on a basketball court.
Oh, you definitely can. You definitely can. It's just a matter of like you showing that it is, because at the end of the day, you might, like I said, you might not have it. When he say that, you fake it by in a sense of you showing it in that moment, that time period that you're in those moments. But when you really, when actuality, you don't have it. You can't tell that you don't have it, but your effort and energy shows that. And then once you're done, then you can go back and be like, oh, that relief. On the court.
You take a charge, you get a loose ball, you grab a big rebound, that kind of thing.
That's what he meant by fake teammate. When you win them 48 minutes, give it what you got. Then after that, you can put your head down that way.
All right, let me ask you, of all the players in the NBA, who's the biggest trash talker and why?
Draymond.
Yeah. That should come as no surprise. Now, do you think that policy changes? He sounds like he's had some remorse.
Yeah, I think it might. It's gonna be a sight to see. You know, now as he's been away from the game. See how much it has had effect on.
So when you hear him talk trash, is it just like an eye roll? Oh, it's Draymond, or.
Yeah, it's Draymond. You know he gonna do something. Gonna say something.
So it's like it's almost like you're used to it. It's no big deal.
You're used to it. Expect it.
Are there any guys who just go through a game and don't say anything?
Oh man, it is. It's actually a couple guys.
let me see. Here, point them out.
People that I've played with. Anthony Simons, he's pretty quiet. Okay. Let me see who he is. Hollis Thompson.
Wow.
Former
Sixer. Yeah.
Hollis used to be like that. Let me see. Luol Deng.
You partner with in a community program. I'll talk about that later, but that's interesting. Let me ask you something. How do players deal? And you can relate it to yourself personally or players in general. How do you deal with the haters? Like the haters in the stands, the haters on social media. How do you deal with all that?
That's part of what comes with it. You know, at the end of the day, it goes in one ear and out the other.
I said, I've been for playing. You, but I know that some players it bothers, right? I mean, they strike back on social media, and you know, they might do something, you know.
I laugh at it a lot of times.
You do.
I laugh at it a lot of times. I mean, because it'd be funny. Because when we in 48 minutes, people feel entitled to say anything, but then you get people that you get the same people that you see them outside. They be like, "Oh, hey, man, well, how you doing? Like, what's going on?" Like. It's a different energy because they know in certain settings they can say whatever they want. And, you know, you can hide behind the screen too.
And you know, it's funny because I remember, and I'm sure you remember playing Portland. This was during your first go round. I was announcing the games, and I remember you were taking some heat from the fans during the game. Remember that big three you hit late against Portland? And I think I said something like, "Robert Covington, they're cheering for you now."
That is true.
That's the way it is.
It was also the Minnesota game as well.
Here you go.
It was a Minnesota game. I was shooting the ball pretty poorly, and they were letting me have it. But they wasn't noticing that on the other end that I was shutting down their best player. Their best player averaging like 26 at the time. He only had 4 points.
Who was that, by the way?
That was Wiggs. I think he ended up with like 8 to 10 points that game.
Okay.
I made it very difficult. That's what my job is.
Let's get down to it here. Can this current edition of the Sixers win a title?
Absolutely. Why? We still are finding our missing pieces. Our missing connections, like with the lineups and everything. But you know, once we get that down, because like I said, with the new additions, the new additions of me, Nico, Marcus, KJ, like just trying to fit in like the moving components of what lineups match up. Well, we got the talent, like, you know, we have the talent on the sheet. So it's just a matter of, like I said, as we continue to roll, like everybody find that rhythm. And once we find that rhythm, it's scary.
How do you reconcile the fact that you'd love to stay with this team now your second time around? Make a late playoff run, deep playoff run, only to know that GMs are always looking to make deals. You could be traded again. How do you reconcile that?
At this juncture, I've been traded five four or five times at this time in my career.
GMs are going to do what they feel is in the best interest of the team. And, you know, at this stage of my career, I don't take that situation. Like, whatever happens, happens. Whatever is my time is here, I'm going to do what I have to do at the end of the day. No longer look at or worry about, you know, if I'm moved or anything. I did that before. Now, at this juncture, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, not going to worry about it. One way or the other, not going to be worried. It's just, if that happens, okay, on to the next.
I got one last question for you. You say on your Instagram, I love the person I'm becoming. Who are you becoming?
People don't understand the amount of things that I've been through, the amount of things that I went through on the court, off the court, you know, having to pick up, move, the struggles, you know, dealing with, you know, my child and, you know, everything and the situation I was put in. My family has been my rock. And, you know, this last couple of years have been a struggle. Last couple years been struggling, not playing, no explanation, like just not understanding, like why things are happening the way they're happening. It was a hard time to accept. You know, it was a hard time to accept, but I had to sit down with myself and I had to sit down and evaluate a lot of things, you know, where I was mentally, emotionally, physically. Everything wasn't in alignment. Everything was in alignment. So by me doing the work that I did and building the team around me, you know, on the court and off the court, I was able to get out of that space. I was able to get out of space, no longer questioned. You know, my faith within God got stronger once again. I strayed away again because things got overwhelming and, you know, I kind of didn't see the light. I was clouded by, you know, the facades that was in front of me. I had to weed out people that was around me. Some relationships, some friendships, you know, got cut short. And like I said, I just did a cleanse. And, you know, my life got that much more smoother. I got that much more happier. And I came up more at peace with everything because I came to a realization of understanding of I can only control what I can control. I can't do anything or make anybody see things the way I see it because it's not for them to see it that way. You know, everybody has their own perception of things and some people don't know the full perception. They only see what they want to see. Then that's perfectly fine. You know, I've come to terms to not put that pressure on myself for people that don't understand what I'm trying to do or what I bring. And when I stopped doing that, life became that much more easier. I came that much more happier. My daughter feels my love. My daughter feels my happiness. She sees it every day. And she gravitates towards it. So, you know, it's nothing that I've like, it's not easy to do, but it's just with the overwhelming things that happen in life and, you know, things that we bear, getting out of that place, you know, it's hard. But I was able to come out of it in life. And the person that I am now, I don't hold grudges. I don't, you know, I'm more at peace with everything and I'm more happier. You know, that's what allowed me to, you know, get into this space and do what I have to do. Because like I said, I want my little girl to see the best version of myself.
Robert Covington, keep on keeping on, my friend.
You know that's not going to stop, my guy. No, it's not going to stop. I'll see you soon, baby.
Check out our friends over at Philadelphia Sports Nation, a local Philadelphia sports site covering your favorite teams across blogs and social media. PHLSportsNation.com. Philadelphia Sports Nation. PHL Sports Nation. Enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of Fresh 24. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.